Faith and Justification by G.C. Brookhauer, Erdmann's, 1954, 207 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. Table of Contents. 1. Relevance. 2. The Way of Salvation. 3. Confessional Reconnaissance. 4. The Reformation and the Holy Scriptures. 5. Some Objections Considered. 6. Justification from Eternity. 7. The Value of Faith. Summary. Chapter 1. Relevance. Theology must be related to the attentive listening to God's Word. It is to be lived out and relevant for our lives. Theology is not independent speculation, but rather systematizes the data of the biblical text. Far from being entertainment for theologians, theology must be taught, preached, confessed, and practiced. Faith and justification are crucial doctrines which are grasped by the eyes of faith and are essential for the life of the church. Dialectic theology and neo-orthodoxy have raised new questions about the relationship between faith and justification. Roman Catholicism and the Reformed view of soteriology are said to be closer than has been previously understood. Profound differences, however, exist between infused grace and the imputation of righteousness, as well as in the interpretation of the relationship between God's sovereign grace and human works as meritorious. Currently, there is a renewed interest in the scholarly studies of Luther's primary sources, and this work has brought about some fresh debates about Luther's understanding of these issues. Given these developments, the doctrine of justification has been made the focus of many theological discussions. Justification is not merely one doctrine among many, but is at the heart of the gospel and the Christian life. Faith accepts the provision of God's salvation. Faith is not the cause of salvation. Going wrong at the point of faith and justification creates problems for understanding faith and sanctification, and faith and perseverance. Theology is always conditioned by community and historical location. The problems of theology and the way they are set do not exist in a cultural vacuum. This is an inescapable reality. But another reality is that theology needs to deeply engage the Scriptures, since the Word of God is our absolute and full authority. Theology is not meant to be speculative, but is a discipline which brings about obedience. Analyzing the relationship between faith and justification is not about producing a proposition, but about having a living relationship with God. Chapter 2. The Way of Salvation. Many have criticized the theological formulations of the Ordo Salutis, namely, the way of salvation, for being too speculative and rationalistic, and for focusing too much on the subjective, human side of faith rather than the objective side of God's salvation. Although the elements in the Ordo Salutis were all tied to the gospel, there have been unfortunate tendencies at times to treat justification as simply another element, equal to conversion or good works in salvation. No order of salvation can expound all of the ways that God works. It is designed to show us the benefits and fruits of salvation and to show us what God does for us and what Christ has earned for us. Calvin describes justification as the main pillar on which everything else rests. Sola fide is not about man's subjective believing, but points believers to the saving grace of God. All lines in the Ordo must meet at the grace of God in the center. Scripture does not give us a sequential order, but does hold up different facets to show us the riches of God's grace. Any Ordo must show that all the believer's life is taken up in the divine salvation. God's grace causes faith to function, and the Ordo should show that everything is tied to solo gratia and solo fide. Faith and justification, or faith and salvation, are intimately related but have been misunderstood when the way of salvation is seen as a way of meritorious faith, works, and repentance. The way is not what we must walk to accomplish the end goal. The way is Christ, and every blessing is in Him. Chapter 3. Confessional Reconnaissance. The relationship between faith and justification lies behind many debates between Pelagians, semi-Pelagians, Roman Catholics, the Remonstrants, and the Reformers. Many of the Reformed and Lutheran confessions show that sola fide was not merely a part of the confession, but embraced the whole gospel. The Heidelberg Catechism makes plain that faith is not merely mentally assenting to certain doctrines, but a participation in the divine reality of salvation. Our sin and guilt are real, but Christ's work has satisfied the justice of the Father, and we are pardoned. Faith is directed exclusively to Christ, His work, and His righteousness. We are not accepted because our faith makes us worthy, but because by faith we rest in Christ. Faith is the gift of God, and sola fide and sola gratia mean the same thing. Likewise, the Belgic Confession insists that faith is not a second factor in justification. It is instrumental in appropriating the blessings of Christ, who is our justification. The canons of Dort do not speak much about justification, but when they do, they are clear that Christ is all, and faith itself is a gift of God's sovereign grace. Namely, salvation is not contingent on foreseen faith. Some have tried to argue that there is a divide between Lutheran and Reformed views of justification, but studying the confessions show that this claim is false. The Augsburg Confession is entirely aligned with the Reformed view. Calvin entirely agreed with the Lutheran doctrine of justification and faith alone. The apology for the Confessio Augustana was written from a deeply embattled position with Rome, and it articulated justification through faith alone as the heart of the faith and the key to the Scriptures. Faith is not a work, and neither faith nor love are meritorious for our salvation. The formula of Concord is crystal clear that faith and works are antithetical in justification. Sola fide is not anthropocentric, while solo gratia is theocentric. Both are soteriological, and therefore aim at soli deo gloria. Chapter 4. The Reformation and the Holy Scriptures. The Reformed confessions continually appeal to Scripture, and this is notably the case with the doctrine of justification. Paul's writings were of special importance for the doctrine, but it was not his writings alone that were drawn on by the Reformers. Holy Scripture is what broke the confessional stance of Rome. God's Word and the Gospel uphold justification by faith alone. All of the New Testament writers are presenting the same Gospel, but since it is multifaceted, they sometimes emphasize one facet more than another. One-sidedness is always a danger in the church, but Paul never fell into it. Paul dealt with numerous situations and circumstances, and in all things, justification and the gospel were the bedrock. It was God's providence that converted Saul the Pharisee, since he was able to know that his own works could never save and that the grace of God was everything. Salvation is not by works, but by believing in Jesus. For Paul, the cross and justification by faith alone were stumbling blocks to human pride. It was this gospel which gave the Reformers a new vision of the whole. John, Peter, and Paul had different emphases, but they taught the same gospel. Some want to drive a wedge between Peter and Paul, with Peter teaching justification by works and Paul justification by faith. But this is not borne out by the biblical data. The Reformation was deeply indebted to Paul. But Paul and the rest of the New Testament writers were united in their view of the gospel of God's sovereign grace. In Paul's own personal experience and in all of his teaching, he emphatically set God's grace against all human efforts and works. Faith was not a work, but a receiving of Christ. Faith is never said to be the ground for our salvation. The ground is God's grace in Christ. Faith is instrumental in appropriating Christ's righteousness. Since faith is entirely directed to God, it cannot be directed towards our own works, and neither is it our meritorious substitute for performing the works of the law. Abraham's justification was not credited as a reward for the accomplishment of his faith. Biblically, faith is not a spiritual achievement which God analyzes as righteousness. On the contrary, faith does not look to faith for righteousness, but to divine grace in Christ. Justification is a forensic declaration based on imputation. It is not a legal fiction, but the entailment of sola fide and sola gratia. Rome always maintained that justification was an infused righteousness, and that love and renewal were needed alongside of faith. Chapter 5. Some Objections Considered. Three main objections to the Reformed doctrine. Objections that are tied to Scripture are drawn from 1. Judgment according to works, 2. Rewards, 3. Justification in the book of James. In the New Testament, Paul, Peter, and Jesus were explicit and clear that people will give an account for their words and deeds. These works that believers perform are not the works of the law, but the works which flow out of faith righteousness. It is the grace of God that is the root of our ethical conduct. All works are judged, and thus all of our works must come from faith. In one sense, good works gives a form to our faith. They make faith visible, like good fruit showing the goodness of the tree. Christ will judge us, but by faith he is our mediator and redeemer. The argument against sola fide that stems from the rewards given to believers is an extension of the judgment according to works. Scripture is filled with promises that those who walk in the way of the Lord will be rewarded. Part of the biblical motivation for proper living is its connection with divine rewards. We must maintain that there is a correspondence between works and rewards, but they are not meritorious in justification. Rome wrongly interpreted rewards as merit-based. The Reformers were right that they were based on grace. If Rome is right, then God is indebted to man and must give rewards on the basis of what people have earned. Calvin argued that the believer's reward is not the payment of wages to a servant, but an inheritance given to an heir. It is only in God's mercy and grace that any of our works can be accepted, let alone rewarded. For some, James chapter 2, verse 24, is all the evidence needed to reject the doctrine of justification by faith alone. It is well known that Luther made disparaging comments about James, but his attitude toward the epistle was complicated. Calvin had no trouble with James and believed that the content of James and Paul were completely compatible. We may suggest three possible answers to the problem raised by James' relation to Paul, answers which have been given in the past. 1. James is debating with Paul. This solution assumes Paul's letter to the Romans was written before James' epistle. 2. James is contending, not against Paul, but against an antinomian misconstrual of Paul's doctrine of justification through faith. 3. Paul's and James' letters are concerned with different problems and are not in the least contending with each other. They are rooted in the same assumptions and are in no way incompatible. The idea that James is disagreeing with Paul simply cannot be sustained. They approach the topic from mutually complementary perspectives. Works cannot be detached from faith, but anyone who claims to have faith but does not have any works to go with it proves that their profession is false. Chapter 6. Justification from Eternity. There are debates concerning whether justification takes place through faith in time or whether God's elect were justified in eternity in the counsel of God. It is important, however, to understand that it is a false dichotomy to put justification in time absolutely against justification from eternity, since many who hold to the latter believe that there is also a work of justification in time. Kuyper held that justification took place in eternity, and it was by faith that a believer entered into it. Their justification in Christ pre-existed their faith. The proclamation took place in time, but the proclamation of reality is not the reality itself. Bovingstadt had many affinities with Kuypers, but he rejected his doctrine of justification from eternity, noting, among other things, that it was not found in Scripture or mentioned in any confession. The covenant of peace was eternal, but things like the incarnation, resurrection, creation, regeneration, and justification were not. In all these discussions, there's the problematic nature of our understanding of the relationship between time and eternity. There are realities, like the cross, that must not be allowed to escape their vital temporality. Antinomianism and idealism devalued time, but we must uphold the concrete historical revelation of God in His words and acts. Some in the Reformed community were worried that justification in time may cause people to view faith as a work and argue that faith was only assent to the eternal reality of justification. They wanted to guard against an Arminian view where God reacts to our faith. It seemed that those who participated in these discussions wanted to uphold both grace and faith, but they had different emphases. It is time to move past these debates, maintaining both grace and faith in their biblical balance. We do exercise faith in time, and we hear the gospel in time, but there is a priority in God's eternal grace. Faith must reflect on the revelation of the Word, rather than speculate about an eternity beyond our comprehension. Scripture gives us all that we need for our doctrine of justification, and hence, we do not need to speak of eternal justification or justification from eternity. Grace must never be subordinated to faith or made reactionary to it, but faith must never be diminished in its necessary role in appropriating salvation. Chapter 7. The Value of Faith. If faith has value, is it not something the creature does which contributes a necessary factor to salvation? Calvin understood faith to be instrumental, looking away from itself to God, working from and in grace. Although the word instrument fails to capture all the rich, living, dynamic, personal trust inherent in the biblical category of faith, there is no one word which can perfectly convey all that faith is, means, and does in correlation with justification. Faith does not look to itself, but is filled with the grace of God. It is God who has created the relationship between His mercy and faith. Yet we must insist that it is the human being who believes and exercises faith. Faith honors God's sovereign grace. Since we are saved as guilty sinners, repentance and faith are inseparable. Penance and works of contrition are not the same as biblical repentance, and it is worth remembering that sola fide was responding to the Roman Catholic system of penance. It is essential that we do not allow faith to have its own merit, but it is equally essential that we maintain that it is absolutely necessary. Scripture emphatically calls us to faith, and God's grace must be received by faith. Those who believe are saved and have eternal life, while those who do not believe are condemned and perish. Christ taught, and Scripture illustrates, that faith has great power. The marvelous fact is this, that the way of salvation is the way of faith just because it is only in faith that the exclusiveness of divine grace is recognized and honored. Everything is possible for faith, not because faith is an independent power, but because it draws on God's grace. Faith does not come from ourselves, but it is a divine gift of grace. Hebrews teaches that without faith, it is impossible to please God. The gospel calls people to trust and believe, without in any way ascribing merit to faith. The reality of God's sovereign grace and the necessity of faith gives impetus to preaching. There are dangers and pitfalls, but we must uphold sola fide and solo gratia as representing the true way of the gospel. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.